Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Shalom. Talk Radio. Shalom. 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 As a matter of fact, I say Shabbat Shalom to all of the people that's listening to this broadcast. And first and foremost, I'd like to give praise, glory, and honor to the true and living Creator, whose name is Yahweh. My name is Brother Elkanah Ben Israel. I'm the spiritual leader and teacher of the House of Israel of Atlanta. It is a blessing to be up in the morning, the early morning, on Yahweh's Sabbath day, to hear this great broadcast that is about to be aired. For this program is called Truth or Traditions. This program was hosted by one of the greatest servants of Yahweh that ever walked the face of this earth in our lifetime, and that is the late, great Moray Elisha Ben Israel, the spiritual leader and teacher of the House of Israel of Cincinnati. It has been a blessing that Yahweh blessed us with such a great man to walk the face of the earth, to show us how to keep the law and teach us how to keep it. Yahweh blessed him with wisdom and knowledge and understanding that was superior above all the brothers and sisters I've ever met since I've been on earth. And I was taught under this great man. And I want to speak for a minute before this broadcast comes on about this great man. For this broadcast is going to be called The Divinity of Christ. It was aired in 2006 because this man was able to show the difference and teach differences between things. And first of all, I know some people have came along in learning about Yahweh and didn't know one of his servants that was on earth, and that's Moray Elisha. Moray Elisha was a servant of the Most High Yahweh. He was a man who loved Yahweh and his people. He was a family man. He had a wife and children whom he loved. He was a man of Elohim who dedicated his life to the will of the Creator, because he was the epitome of a man that went to raise up the tribes of Jacob. As a matter of fact, he sacrificed his life traveling all over the world for the word of the mighty Yah. This man was a teacher, one of the greatest teachers, and certainly one of the greatest debaters of our time. And by the way, of course, you already know he never lost a debate, because he came with the words of Yahweh, and Yahweh was with him. This man, Elisha, was a teacher of teachers. I stress that fact, and I'm one of them, along with my fellow brethren, Moray Ishaya ben Israel, out of the House of Israel of Raleigh, North Carolina, a man who was truly a friend of Moray Elisha, was taught in Cincinnati under Moray Elisha, a great teacher of today, Moray Ishaya ben Israel, along with his twin brother, Moray Yehoshua ben Israel, out of the House of Israel of Jacksonville, Florida, a great teacher, and have been teaching for many years, and was taught in Cincinnati under the leadership of Moray Elisha. Even though I wasn't in Cincinnati, he taught me. And so you just don't realize, my people, the type of man that we're speaking of. Moray yourself, Ben Israel, out of Jackson, Mississippi, a man just like me who was in a whole nother state, but yet this great man's influence in his leadership and teaching by our relationship, which we had, every Sabbath day. And that was the decision that was meditated on when we decided on what day would this broadcast be aired. And we know this is Yahweh's Sabbath. So we want it to be a special day, a day that we were able for almost 20 years on the phone talking about the laws of Yahweh, me and Ishaiah and Yehoshua and Elisha and yourself. And before these other great teachers passed, Moray Tyre, who was a teacher of the House of Israel of Cincinnati with Elisha, the great late Moray Herman Taylor out of Jackson, Mississippi, of the House of Israel of Jackson, Mississippi. We all were able to converse and counsel with this great teacher, this great leader. And it's been a blessing, and it's really going to be a blessing just to hear his voice teaching the words of Yahweh, doing the thing that he loved the most. And so this great man was also the founder of the Restoration of the Sacred Laws of Yahweh yearly conference and convention that's held three times in a year, which, of course, in this August of this year, we're going to have our 20th year anniversary. Just think, this man dedicated his life to the will of Yahweh, and this year happens to be the 20th year that Creator gave him the Spirit to raise up Jacob, to exalt his laws, and to bring Israel together three times in a year to discuss his great laws, statutes, and commandments and covenants. That's the type of man that we're talking about right now. So we praise Yahweh for great elders and leaders and teachers like Elisha. And there'll never be another Elisha. There'll never be a brother who would dedicate his life like this and sacrifice his time and efforts just for Yah and his word. So in other words, Moray Elisha was a man of Elohim. Moray Elisha was a prophet of Yahweh. He was actually the prophet of Yahweh in our time. And a lot of people, even unto this day, didn't know it. But we pray to Yahweh. We pray to the Most High that we understand this. And so I praise Yah that this man was able to teach the difference between holy and unholy, between a day and a night, between the feast days that we were to keep in captivity and the ones that we could not celebrate. A man who was able to go into the New Testament and discern and show the deceit and lies that we have been taught as a nation of people for years, ever since we've been slaves. So what a blessing, what a treat that you're in for this beautiful Sabbath morning. As I mentioned, this program, Truth and Traditions, the title of this particular program is called The Divinity of Christ, where Elisha, in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, showed all the excerpts of where so-called Christ was mentioned in the various books, the New Testament or the Quran, because we know he wasn't mentioned nowhere in the Holy Scriptures. So we praise the mighty Yahweh. We praise him for this great broadcast, Truth and Traditions, that Yahweh led Moray Elisha to bring all over the world for over 10 years, nearly 12 years, this broadcast was aired by the servant of Yahweh. So, without further ado, we're going to bring on Truth and Traditions, and we praise Yahweh by saying hallelujah. Enjoy the broadcast.
Right. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moriah Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you Truth or Tradition. Today I'm again honored to speak the word of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Today on True Four Traditions, I'm going to speak some more about how the Christ of the New Testament supposed to have been someone that taught the laws of the Most High. And a lot of people followed the Christ of the New Testament thinking that he kept all of the laws and that he never taught against the commandments of the Most High. We're doing this in light of the movie that's out. The movie that's out is very popular. We want to deal with that, the Da Vinci Code. And we're going to talk about that a little more after we read the book completely and see the movie. But it's a movie about proving the fact that the Christ of the New Testament was divine, or was he divine? It's speaking about the divineness of Christ of the New Testament. But we're going to deal on that today. We're going to deal on the divinity of Christ through the Torah and the New Testament and the Quran. So be ready for another action-packed evening as we deal with these books and what they had to say about the Christ of the New Testament. Well, before we get into our lesson, we'll again bring you another beautiful message, another beautiful song from the 12 tribes entitled, I'm Going Through.
Deeply. Quit pointing the finger, y'all. cause all of us sin weekly, trying to let sneaky bean, cunning and conniving, saying y'all don't pee me, fools, who you think you jiving, it's all about surviving, it's all about providing for the family, y'all searching your heart, so it's all about what's inside it. I'm colliding with Satan head on, Lucifer you be Hatan, so I'ma rather headstrong, some be dead wrong for fake gun, claiming that you're Hebrew, you're mistaken, you get Nathan for taking, y'all for granted, I can't stand it cause you be trading, feel my energy and wake up there Jacob and stay up cool, quit following that fool, made it with makeup and let's go through.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Maria Alicia Israel of the House of Israel bringing you truth or traditions. Today we're going to explore the divinity of the Christ of the New Testament. Everywhere I go, people ask me, did I read the book, The Da Vinci Code, or seen the movie? They're all interested in what I think about the movie. But more importantly, I'm going to tell you what do I think about the book. Not the book on the Da Vinci Code, but the book called the New Testament. The book called the Quran and the book called the Torah. Because these books directly or indirectly address the divinity of the Christ of the New Testament, according to the New Testament. Who was Christ? You have four different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I might add, these four particular Gospels are very different on a lot of the issues that they speak about. You have four interpretations of the same thing. How would you like to read the Old Testament and read about four different points of view on the book of Exodus? Four different points of view about how Jonah got swallowed by a huge fish. And four different points of view on the resurrection. Now, we know one thing is certain. If you have two points of view, and they're both totally different, one of them has to be false. It's a possibility that both of them are false, but we know one of them had to be false if they're totally diverse from one another. And if you got four different Gospels, and all of them are dealing with the same issue, but they're totally different, then you know that only one of them could be telling the truth. The other three, if they're different, if they're diverse, they would have to be a lie. And as we examine the New Testament, I have found out there's only one gospel that speaks about the divinity of Christ being the Son of the Most High. Only one. And that is the book of Matthew, That's the only book I read that speaks about the virgin birth and how he was born of a virgin. If this is so great, if it's so unique, if this is so special, then why is it that no one spoke about it but Matthew's? And the other writers are saying things entirely different about something so special, so unique, as the so-called Immaculate Conception. We want to investigate these things. First of all, let's go to the book of Matthew. We're going to go there first. Now, in the book of Matthew, they have two different points of view in the very first chapter. One point is that he is a son of David, because according to the New Testament, they consistently quote the verse that the Messiah had to be a son of David. Well, if this is true, and a Messiah had to be a son of David, then how can he also be the son of the Most High? For we know the Most High did not descend from David. So here's how they play this trick with you, and to try to get you into this mode of thinking. According to Matthew, the first chapter, the first verse, it reads,
"The book of the generation of JC, the son of David, the son of Abraham."
In other words, this book of Matthew's, it said, this is the book. Matthew said, this is the book. The rest of them don't say that, but Matthew says, the book of the generations of JC, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then they begin to try to show you the genealogy of the Christ of the New Testament. And then they get to the 16th verse as they begin to try to trace and show us how this man, how this person, how this being descended from David. They go to the 16th verse, and this is something very remarkable, something very fascinating, something very prodigious, because they're trying to establish his genealogy through the chronology of the people that they claim that he came from. Then we get to this mysterious 16th verse, and here's what it says.
"And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born JC, who is called Christ."
All right. In other words, what they're doing is showing you at the end, after they trace Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and so on and so forth, they come to a conclusion. And the conclusion is, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, to whom was born JC, who is called Christ. So whose genealogy is this? This is the genealogy of Joseph. Now, if Joseph was not the father of Christ, then how can you trace his genealogy from a man that you just accredit as being his stepfather? A man cannot get a genealogy from a stepfather. You cannot trace this man back as being the son of David through someone who is not related to him. And if in fact it was Mary that was of the tribe of Judah, then why would you show me Joseph's genealogy and try to use this as the basis of showing that Christ is from the seed, or he is a son of David? You know, there's an old saying that you can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. And here you might have fooled some of my Christian and Muslim brothers. But we of the house of Israel are letting you know. You old dragon, we're letting you know right now that you did not deceive us. We're hip to your game that you're playing. And this cannot be used as a basis of determining his genealogy. Well, let's give the devil the benefit of a doubt. Let's give him the benefit of a doubt. Let's say, which is not, but let's say this is the genealogy of Christ. And they can show you how Christ came through the seed of David through Joseph. If this is the truth, then how can he be the son of Yahweh? How can he be the son of Yahweh if he's the son of David? Because it would be totally possible to show that David descended from Yahweh. Now, believe it or not, there's one other book in the New Testament that deals with the genealogy of the Christ. Only one other book that deals with his genealogy. And we're going to go to that other book. It is called the Book of Luke. We're going to go to the Book of Luke and look for the possibility that he could have descended from David through another source other than the ridiculous source they tried to get us to believe in the Book of Matthew. We're going to go there, and we're going to go to the Book of Luke, and we're going to go through the third chapter as we search looking for the genealogy of Christ. And here's what the book of Luke says. It starts off in the 22nd verse by saying,
"And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son. Indeed, I am well pleased."
In other words, the voice supposed to told him. It didn't say who the voice was. It said a voice said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Then the 23rd verse says,
"And J.C. himself began to be about 30 years of age, being the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli."
In other words, some of you will think that my reader made an error because he didn't say as was supposed. But let's include that in. First of all, the word "as was supposed" is in parentheses, meaning that is not part of the original text. In your books, here's how the whole verse would read in parentheses.
"And J.C. himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli."
In other words, they said, "as was supposed," letting you know that they're not sure, but he's supposed to be his son. Now, if the people that wrote the New Testament are not sure, why would they want us to join a new religion that's predicated on the fact that he's the son of the Most High, and all they're doing is saying, well, he's supposed to be him. You see how ridiculous that sounds? But the truth of the matter is, the word "as was supposed" is not there. Here is how it really reads. "And J.C. himself began to be about 30 years of age, being the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli." So what do we have? We have the book of Luke stating emphatically that the Christ of the New Testament had a father. And the father of Christ is Joseph. Joseph, not supposed to, not might be, but was Joseph. Now, I'd ask the Christian ministers, is this a lie? Now, if this is a lie, we can tear this whole book out of the Bible and we can go to the rest of the books. Because before it's over, you're going to be tearing the whole New Testament out. As we read further, we see that he is the son of Joseph according to the book of Luke. And further, if we go to the book of Romans, let's go to the book of Romans for a moment. We go to Romans, the first chapter. Then we're going to see what this book is saying about the Christ as we search for his divinity. And we're going to see if we have to look at a movie or read a book to see that this man was not divine. According to the book of Romans, the first chapter, here's what it says in the third verse.
Concerning his son, JC, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh.
They speak again of Christ in the New Testament. They said, concerning his son, JC, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, according to Romans, he was the son of David according to the flesh. So his genealogy is traced to David and not Yahweh. According to Romans, he is not the son of Yahweh, but he's the son of David according to the flesh. And then notice what the fourth verse says.
And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness.
In other words, they're saying that he's only the Son of God according, he's only the Son of Elohim according to the Spirit, not the flesh. So he has two fathers. According to the New Testament, the father of Christ of the New Testament, according to the flesh, was Joseph, who was a son of David. But according to the Spirit, he was a son of the Most High. So when it talks about being a son, it's talking about the Spirit. And when we talk about being made sons of the Most High, according to the New Testament, if you go to the book of John, the first chapter, you'll see that the whole conversation about sons of the Most High are according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. In John, it says in the 11th verse, he came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. So right here, it lets you know that there were many sons of God in the New Testament according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Because according to the flesh, he was the son of David. Not necessarily that's wrong what we read. Now, if that's wrong, then again, as I said, we can tear the whole book of Luke up. Then we can start tearing up John as well. Two different types of fathers, earthly father and a spiritual father. Now, it's easy for Israel to look at the Christ of the New Testament as our brethren because we're the sons of the Most High according to the Spirit. Most High did not come down and lay with a woman and birth the nation of Israel. Israel is the Almighty Son, but we're the sons of the Most High because we're the nation he adopted spiritually and made his son. Likewise, if you read the New Testament in a totality of its perspective, it is drawing the same conclusion, but not according to the flesh. I want you to look at that. Now, what does the Quran say about this? Now, according to the Quran, Christ in the New Testament was a very important person. Very important. I think most Muslims would be shocked to find out that according to the Quran, that he was even more holier than Muhammad. Everybody that had something to do with him was holy. His mother was holy. His grandmama was holy. All of them was holy. His first cousin, John, Zachariah, and Elizabeth, his aunt and auntie, they were all holy people. And let's read a couple of things the Quran say about the Christ of the New Testament. You would be shocked to know that according to the Quran, Mary, she had a baby without any man. Now the Muslims laugh at the Christians and say, hey, you Christians teach that the Most High is the Father of Christ. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But then I ask the Muslim, who is his father? And they say, according to their book, he didn't have a father. Well, that would even make it more supernatural than what the Christians are teaching. The Christians are at least teaching that he has a father. Now, the Muslims are teaching that a virgin had a baby with nobody involved, period, just had a baby. Well, let's see what it says in the book of Surah, the third chapter. Let's go to Surah, the third chapter. Let's start reading something about the Christ of the New Testament and what they teach about him according to the Quran. According to the Quran, the third chapter, we'll start at the 45th verse.
When the angel said,
the third chapter, the 45th verse, and it says, and he will speak to the people when cradled and when of old age, and he shall be one of good ones, and he shall be one of the good ones. So it says that he was talking to the people when he was in a cradle. He wasn't crying and whatnot. He was speaking to people. Never read that before. And it says in the 46th verse of the third chapter, or the third surah of the Quran. And she said, my Lord, how can I have a son and man has not yet touched me? He said, even so, the deity created what he pleased. When he decrees a matter, he only says it to be. And it is. So in other words, it established the fact that he did not have a father at all. And then we go to the 47th verse, and it says,
he will teach him the book and the wisdom and the Torah and the gospel.
It said that the deity himself teach him the book and the wisdom, and the Torah, and the gospel, and make him a messenger to the children of Israel. Say, I come to you with a sign for your Lord that I determine for you out of the dust to form a bird. Then I breathed into it, and it became a bird with the deity's permission. In other words, they were saying that Christ of the New Testament was just picking up dirt and rolling it together, and birds was flying out of his hand. Talks about miracles that he was doing. And it says, Seth, all he had to do is roll this dust together, became a bird, and he breathed into it, and then flew away. He said, and the blind and the lepers, they should bring the dead to life. So he's not only supposed to heal the blind and the lepers, that said that Christ would bring the dead back to life with the permission of the deity. And he said, I will inform you of what you should eat and what you should store in your houses. Surely there is a sign in this for you if you are a believer. So he's supposed to tell the children of Israel what to eat, store in their houses. But Yahweh said he's the only one that gave us a diet. He's the only one that determines what we should eat and what he should not eat. And we had our dietary law years and centuries before the Christ of the New Testament was ever born. And any Israelite that's worth a grain of salt would never allow a Christ to walk up to him or a Muhammad to walk up to him and tell him to change the dietary law and tell him that he now can eat bats and he now can eat roaches and he now can eat catfish. Here, we know better. According to their books, the Quran, it says we can eat anything except for pig, dogs, buzzards, rats. According to the New Testament, we can eat everything. Just pray over it. That's all we have to do. But we know this to be false because we know that Yahweh never changes. Like that. Show you something about our Creator. And this will let our Christian brothers and our Muslim brothers know why we're so adamant and we stand so firmly on the words of the Most High in light, spite of the fact that they said that Muhammad says that we can eat anything now other than a pig. And though they say that Christ says, call nothing that I made common and unclean, and states that nothing a man can enter into his body can hurt him or defile him. Even though they say this, and you sell it to some of our people, we know better. According to the Book of Ecclesiastes, I want to show you what our Creator says to Israel. But before you go to Ecclesiastes, I'm going to show you something out of our book concerning this matter, out of the book of Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter. We go to Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, for a moment. It tells us in the very second verse.
For thou art a holy people unto Yah.
Holy people unto Yah.
Thy Elohim and Yah have chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth.
He has chosen us to be a peculiar nation unto him, above all the nations that are upon the face of the earth. And then he tells us in the next verse,
thou shalt not eat any abominable thing.
Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. He tell us not to eat anything that's an abomination. But here, he names the things. And one of the things he names in the 8th verse.
And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud. It is unclean unto you. Ye should not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass.
Here the Creator tells us, that's when we're so steadfast with his law. And the swine, because it divide the hoof, and though it be cloven-footed, it cheweth not the cud. Therefore, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. And why? Because the Creator said the swine does not chew the cud. Now the Christians are saying today that it's different. The Almighty has cleansed it. All you have to do is pray over it and you can eat it. Well, if this is so, and if the hog had been cleansed, we would know it because we'd see the hog doing the same thing we see the cow doing, and that's chewing the cud. But still today, the swine will not chew the cud. He will chew anything else in the world, but he will not chew the cud. That's how you know the infallibility of the words of the Most High. Then it goes on in the 9th verse and states,
these ye shall eat of all that are in the waters. All that have fins and scales shall ye eat. And whatsoever have not fins and scales ye may not eat. It is unclean unto you.
All right, here tomorrow, Most High tell us there are certain fish that we can eat and certain fish that we cannot eat. And he tells us specifically anything that does not have fins and scales, we can't eat. So we can't eat shark. We can't eat whales. We can't eat jellyfish. We can't eat catfish. We can't eat lobsters and lobsters and crabs and crawdads. We can't eat that. But our Muslim brothers can, according to their book. Their book has allowed many Israelites that are seeking the truth to join Islam and thinking they are following the dietary law and have our people eating foods that our Creator said is an abomination. But they think they're doing the right thing because they think the Most High has changed and is now sanitized and justified these foods to be eaten. And likewise, our Christian brothers think the same thing. But let me let you all know why we are so steadfast. If we turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, I asked you to turn a few moments ago. If we go to the book of Ecclesiastes, let's go to the third chapter and see the words that all of the prophets knew about our Creator. All of the prophets knew our Creator, knew there were certain things about the Most High that would never change. And here's what it says in the 14th verse of the third chapter of Ecclesiastes.
I know that whatsoever Elohim doeth, it shall be forever.
It shall be forever.
Nothing can be put to it.
Nothing can be put to it.
Nor anything taken from it. And Elohim doeth it that men should fear before him.
Now, why did he want us to fear him? Because he don't change. Now, Muhammad and the Muslims said he did change. Paul in the New Testament said he did change. But again, our people knew. I know that whatsoever Elohim does, it shall be forever. My Muslim brothers and sisters, do y'all know how long forever is? Forever don't mean 7 centuries later when Muhammad is born. It don't mean 100 centuries later. It don't mean 1,000,000 centuries later. The Almighty's word is forever. So you're working in vain when you come with these books that you believe is holy, showing you where our Creator has changed. And he's not to change the same today. And he's permitting us to worship another man. He's permitting us to worship on another day. He's permitting us to eat foods that were forbidden yesterday. He's permitting us to worship different religions that he had condemned in the past. He's permitting these things. The Creator says no. I want you to understand this. I know that whatsoever Elohim does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And Elohim does it that men shall fear before him. Now, all the prophets knew that he didn't change because the Torah, our lifeline to Yahweh, let us know that he did not change. If you go to the Torah and go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, see, a good Israelite that is faithful, it's hard to convert him, even at the threat of death, even at the threat of the sword to change. I know you all are very successful in converting many of our brothers in Africa to Islam, and I study Christianity, and I know how successful you are in converting many of our brothers in the past to Christianity, through the threat of the sword and through the fear of persecution and prosecution. But I want you to know that there's a remnant of the Almighty people that's standing as solid as a rock, and we know Yah, and not only do we know, we understand. And notice what we understand. It says in Deuteronomy 4:2,
ye shall not add unto the word which I command you.
The Almighty told us not to add. So any prophet that would add anything to the Almighty's word would not be worth a grain of salt. Any prophet to add anything, he said, ye shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you. And the only way we can keep them is walk that straight line. Not to the right, nor to the west, nor to the east, nor to the south, but going according to his law, not adding one thing, nor diminishing anything from this law. That's how we keep the law, and that's how we search out these matters. Once we find out the Almighty's word is the truth and the only truth, then when we read the Quran, then when we examine the New Testament, anything that's not consistent with his word, we know we are reading a book that was wrote in falsehood. And both of these books differ from the words of the Most High. Now, I've showed you what the New Testament said about Christ. Well, I showed you a few things the Quran said about Christ. Let me show you a couple more things what the New Testament said, and then let me show you what the Most High said himself. Right now, Christianity is a religion that's predicated on the worship of Christ. If you don't worship Christ, if you don't call Christ your Lord and Savior, then you're not a Christian. And you're not accepting the New Testament. And if you're a Muslim, you will accept the New Testament because the Quran says to accept the New Testament. The Quran says the Christians would be saved. And the Quran says to accept the book called the Gospel. It says accept the Torah too. Well, you have to have some truth. But when you get to the New Testament, you know that's when it proves that your religion is wrong, because your religion is predicated on accepting a false book as part of the words of the Most High. And everything about the New Testament is false, as we will reveal and as the history of the world will unfold and show you. These truths are coming out in the last days about the true divinity of Christ, and it will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is no divinity. Here's what the Most High said. He said, not only don't add to the words which I command thee, neither should ye diminish aught from it. So we can't add, neither can we take away from the words of the Most High. Then we go in the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. And notice what the Most High says to us in his law. Now, this particular law here that he gave would totally condemn the Quran and the things they taught you that Muhammad said. It will condemn the New Testament and a lot of things they taught you that Christ said, even though the Most High will have Christ stating that you should keep the law, even though the Quran will have Muhammad stating that you should obey the Torah. Let's look at where I took you to, and that is the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. Let's look at the 27th verse. 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, and we are going to, the 27th chapter, rather, excuse me. The 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, we're going to look at the 26th verse. Notice what it says.
Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen.
Cursed shall be he that confirms not all the words of this law to do it, and all the people shall say amen. And that's what Brother Elisha in the house of Israel is saying today, amen. And we're saying so true to the fact that cursed be anyone that confirms not all the words of the law of Yahweh to do it. Now, did the Christ of the New Testament confirm to do all the laws? What did he teach against keeping some of the laws of the Most High? Well, according to the New Testament, he taught against many of the laws of the Most High. And he sinned many times, because every time he spoke against the law of Yah, he brought a curse upon himself. Likewise, in the Quran, every time they speak against the law, they bring a curse upon themselves. And both books speak against the law of Yah. Let's start with the New Testament. Let's look at the divinity of Christ. Let's turn to the book of Matthew's, the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of Matthew's. And let's see if the Christ of the New Testament adds something to the law, or does he diminish anything from the law, or let's see if he's confirming all the words of this law to do it. Let's get to one law. According to the book of Matthew's, the fifth chapter, the 38th verse, we read a law. And the law states,
ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.
Now, this is the law. This is the law of Yah. You can find this great law before we read another word in the book of Leviticus, the 24th chapter. Let's hold that verse. Let's hold that book. And let's go quickly to Leviticus 24. And let's see if this was in fact the law. Let's see if in fact this is one of the laws that Yah said, cursed be the man that don't uphold these laws to do it. Here's what it says in the book of Leviticus, 24th chapter. We're going to read the 19th to the 20th verse.
And if a man calls a blemish in his neighbor,
if a man calls a blemish in his neighbor,
as he hath done, so shall it be done to him.
As he hath done, so shall it be done unto him.
Breach for breach.
Breach for ye breach.
Eye for eye.
And eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. As he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done unto him again. So that is a law from the Torah. That is a law of the Most High. But we return to the book of Matthew's, in the fifth chapter, the 38th verse, we see that they have the Christ in the New Testament not even giving honor to the Creator, not giving credit to the Creator, not showing any humility at all. But we see them being arrogant and speaking very brass and saying, ye have heard it said by them of old. Ye have heard it said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I, know that word I say unto you that ye resist not evil. He's telling us not to resist evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So not only, he's breaking all the laws here. Not only did he not confirm the law, but he added not only a word, he added three whole sentences to the law and made it a different concept altogether and turned it upside down. Boy, time is really flying by. But right now, we are time for a news break. And I want our listening audience to know that as soon as the news break is over, we're going right back to our subject. And we want everybody to call in at area code 513-749-1230. And we're going to talk about this great lesson today. But right now, we're going to let you have news for a couple minutes. Shalom. Shalom, 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 shalom. Again, Maria Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or tradition. Now let me try to appeal to my brothers and sisters. If anybody have any comments, any differences of opinion, or any agreements with what I'm saying, please call me at area code 513-749-1230. I want all y'all to put yourself in my shoes as we try to put ourselves in your shoes. Let's look at the Christians concerning Islam. Now, you can understand why a Christian would not accept Islam, because there are certain fundamental facts that Christianity is predicated on, and Islam denies all of these basic truths. Christianity is predicated that Christ is the Son of the Most High. The Quran said he did not have a father at all. None at all. New Testament says that the Christ of the New Testament was a man that feared the Most High and kept all of his commandments. This is what the New Testament is saying. But you see certain things in the Quran that had the law changing and said the Christ in the New Testament was not even crucified. That's the basic truth of the New Testament, a fundamental truth that he was crucified and was rose from the grave in 3 days. Well, according to the Quran, he was never killed. It said he never died. It said that there was a man that looked like him, that he was saved, but it was not him. He was never crucified, but a man was made to appear. He was made to appear to them as such. So it said J.C. lived to be an old man, according to the Quran. According to the Quran, none of the things that they're saying that in the New Testament was true at all. So you can see why a Christian would not accept Islam, but you can see why a Muslim would accept Christianity, because his book supports Christianity. His book supports the fact that he was divine. His book supports the fact that Christ was a prophet and a righteous man, and there was none like him in the earth. His book supports that. So I can look back and see why a Muslim would accept Christianity, but I could very easily say why a Christian that knows his book could not accept Islam. Now, for the Christians, you can see why an Israelite could not accept your religion, because your religion and what it teaches is totally contrary to what the Almighty says. The Almighty said you have to keep all of his laws. The Quran has the laws being changed and altered. You don't even see some of the greatest laws being perceived as truths that must be maintained, such as circumcision. You don't notice that in the Quran. The dietary law. Don't notice that. So these are some of the problems. Well, right now I'm going to talk to some of our brethren, and then we'll deal with these issues during the course of our conversation. Because I could talk all night about these particular differences. We're going to go right to the line right now. Right to Cincinnati, to our beloved sister, Rashida. Shalom, sister.
Assalamu alaikum.
Shalom.
Alicia, I've been listening to you, and I listen to you all the time. But first off, I'd like to make a few comments.
Go ahead.
I asked you 20 years ago to bring me the Torah. You never brought it.
No, you never asked me that, sister.
Brother Alicia, I've been with
you
all my
life. No, let's tell the truth. The truth
on the side. I asked you, you came over and studied.
Well, I bring you one. I have many tours.
The Torah. You
That's
brought
no...
the Bible. Well, let me say what I have to say, please.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. The Bible does not verify itself. It never says that this is the Torah. The Quran is not referring to the Bible.
What does the word Torah mean?
You said it means law.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but Rashida has laws, too. I don't call it the Torah.
Well, that's what it's called.
Well, you know, I have laws. I can call it anything.
Yeah, but I'm just giving you what the Torah means.
Wait a minute, and then another comment. You know, in your book, you can eat anything.
Yeah, turn the radio down a little bit.
Okay, hold on one second.
I'm getting the background. Turn it down a little bit.
Okay. You can eat anything. I turned it down. But you know what, Alicia?
Go ahead.
Now, I'm going to read this to you right quick. This is in Deuteronomy. And it's the 12th chapter and the 20th verse. It says, when the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy borders as he has promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because thy soul longeth to eat flesh. Thou mayest eat flesh whatsoever thy soul lusts for. Is that why your righteous Israelite women eat the babies? Because they long and they lust for the flesh, you need to stop. You know, talking, you know, putting people's religion down.
I'm
because
not.
You know what? You know, if you haven't studied Islam, you can't even pronounce surah or ayat. So you know, you need to stop it. You don't know the Quran. You don't even understand it.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I do.
Well, since you do understand it, can I ask you a couple questions?
You know what? Just say what you have to say.
All right. I want to ask you a couple. Being a Muslim, are you allowed to eat a rat?
You know what? It would be better than eating a baby.
I just asked you a question.
I would eat a rat before I eat my
children. I just asked you a question.
No,
because, in other words, you're not.
You don't have to lust.
You're telling me you know the Quran, but you're not answering basic questions that I'm asking you.
No, we have to. We eat clean.
And what you're. Well, I asked you a question. You didn't answer it yet. You're not allowed to eat a rat? But since you know the Quran and I don't, could you show me in the Quran where you're not allowed to eat a rat? Could you show?
That's ridiculous. You know, eating a rat is better than eating a children.
Could you show me that in the Quran?
Alicia, you know what? You know it.
Could you show it to me?
You tell me where it's at.
Well, you can find the doctor.
You know what? You need to quit. You really need to quit.
All right.
I bear witness.
All right.
You need to quit.
All right, sir.
Yahweh was tired on the seventh day, and that's God.
All right.
A lot don't get tired, man.
All right. Okay. All right, Rashida. I'm glad to know that I know a sister that knows the Quran. I'm just sorry you're not ready to teach it to us, because we can learn a lot from you, but you can't learn if you run and hang up the phone. I was talking to a sister earlier the week, and I was saying what she was saying was wrong, and she ran and hung up the phone, which is indicative of what the Creator says. He said, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So don't get mad at me because you cannot defend a book you claim you know. But when I speak of what's in it, you say, I don't know it. Let's be fair. Right now, I appreciate your calling, though, but right now we're going to deal with some other brothers and sisters that are calling in. We have Brother Michael Riley from Cincinnati. And if anybody else would like to call us or join us, we'd love to hear from you. Area code 749-1230. And I'm particularly waiting for my brother out in Forest Park that Gray called. He called me last week, but he called so late. And we had such a nice, productive conversation. But I wish he called back, or any of my Christian brothers that want to identify and speak on these things, because right here we're making an indictment that the Christ of the New Testament went against the laws of the Most High. And many of y'all teach that they're the same person. Well, you're teaching that the Most High went against his own laws. And we need you to explain this to me. Explain how he can break the law, and then you all teach that he's perfect. And I showed you one law that he broke that everybody could plainly see. Please call in and help us understand these matters. But right now we're going to our beloved brother, Brother Michael Riley. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
How are you doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. One of the things that, you know, we know as people, you got that new story out from that movie, all this, but one of the things, the real secret, let's really talk about it, that the Quran and the Bible don't want to tell. What color was the man they called Jesus?
You're
one
right.
Thing, you know, nobody wants to talk about that. You know, it really gets me, you know, in the Bible, was his ancestors was Solomon.
Yes.
And when Solomon, in the Song of Solomon, he said he's black.
That's right. Said he has woolly hair.
And how can, if this man is black, let's tell the real truth about it. You know, let's talk about the son of the carpenter, who he really is.
Mm-hmm.
He was a black man.
Absolutely.
I know Billy Graham did not like the way the son of the translation was, so he changed his translation of the Bible to say he was dark, Solomon was. But see, that's the type
and the word dark is not in, and the word is black.
Right.
And he, yes. Kahor, coming from the Hebrew word kahor, which means black. But
right.
The word dark is not that. Those are two different words.
But see, we know that white people on a whole hate us and try to dehumanize us. And we worry about, when we see all these young people killing one another because they do not have the knowledge of self.
Yes.
We have the knowledge of self and who we are. And what our ancestors are, because all the true prophets were black.
You're right. And the whites are holding our people down as a whole and doing everything they can to destroy our people. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, all whites don't hate us, but all whites don't have to hate us in order for the system to maintain itself and keep us down. But here's a fact, whether all whites hate us or not, it's a fact that every institution in America is racist.
That's
right. From the Boy Scout to the Polk to the Sunday school teacher, from the Procter & Gamble to any industry, every school, Board of Education, the government, every institution in America is governed by racism.
And
so
also,
they don't all have to be prejudiced in order for them to maintain the status quo.
And also we know the most racist day of the week is Sunday.
Yes. Yes.
Because everybody goes to their different churches.
Yeah, that's right.
Blacks got their churches, the white got their churches.
Totally.
That shows the Christian religion is a farce. It's a racist institution.
It is.
Because the black churches will not teach that the man called Jesus was black, and you know the white church is not going to do that.
No.
That's impossible. They could never let you do that.
They're going to make them look like an image of themselves.
That's right.
And all their pictures is going to be white, and they're going to say they're not racist. How can they be intelligent and read the Bible and then read the scriptures and then come back and draw a white picture in their church if they're not racist, when that book tells them quite the opposite? And all these people went to school. They know what Revelation, the first chapter, the 13th to the 15th verse says. They know what Daniel the 7th chapter, the 9th verse says. They know what Songs of Solomon 1 and 5 says. They know this.
But they would never teach you black people that.
No, they would not.
They would not teach their own people that.
No.
Because they understand if they do, we'll get a different outlook upon ourselves.
Only
we'll
one that can... Only one that can educate a black man is another black man. That's the only one that can really teach our people the truth.
But not a chimney eating preacher.
No, no. Absolutely.
Because he's too busy trying to impress the people that give him license to preach in the first place.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Because if he know if he don't teach the right foolishness, the right lie, he will not have his license much longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just like on the plantation, the overseer, the mulattoes, was taught what to say and what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we still have that same thing today. Also, I want to make a comment about our great, supposed to be lawyer friend, Ken Lawson. He represented some young brothers that got them 60 years for beating up some white people and stealing something. 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't kill none. They didn't kill none of them, mm-hmm. but he got it 60 years. But also, he trying to get Howard Beatty off with a little, you know, like, oh, it was something else. It wasn't really a murder. It wasn't this.
Mm-hmm.
That shows you the type of lawyer a mulatto can be. You know, he's supposed to be loving his people, but he got two young brothers, 17, 18, 19 years old, 60 years in prison, saying that's too much.
Mm.
But you get Howard Beatty trying to make a deal to get him off of, on a, you know, a plea bargain or something. And we are people let these things happen to us because we got chimney preachers running around here afraid to speak the truth.
All right.
We got a black newspaper in this town who's afraid to say anything. We got politicians who can't say nothing because we all know they're backed by white people. They're a bunch of hypocrites. That's what they are.
All right.
And like I say, brothers, we need to wake up to the fact, and sisters too, that this country and these people are not for us. Because if they were, they teach the truth.
You're right. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate your calling.
Yes, sir.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Right now, we're going to a sister on the cell phone. We want to go right to her, Sister Denise, Janice, rather. Yes. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Yes.
I just called to say about the first lady that called. She, I mean, it's only certain things you can show, and I choose to keep following you every week, listening to you, looking you up on the internet. I choose to do that. Some people choose not to know the truth or see the truth, so it's hard for them to observe the truth. You know, they just choose to go astray, like you said, run away. So if they don't see it, it's basically nothing you could do, nothing, you know. They just stuck in their ways, and they choose not to see the truth or don't want to know the truth. It's the way of some people's lives. Because I done told a lot of people, and they be ready to fight, like, Jesus, J.C. this. And I'll be like, no, but God is first. You know, Most High is first. Yahweh is first. There is, and they are one. And the arguments that I go through trying to make the people that I used to go to church with believe in, you know, not even believe, just understand why I stopped going, it's almost a torture, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you can't do that. It's not right. You're living wrong.
You have to understand, the Bible said, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he should not depart. That's the way they was raised. The white man raised our people in the New Testament. When he first allowed them to go to church when they were slaves on a plantation, they could only go to church on Sunday. They could not go on the Sabbath day. They had to go Sunday. He made that the day of worship, and the only book they could read was the New Testament. He didn't let the preacher preach out of him out of the Old Testament where it says, let my people go, and how a little man named David slew the big giant like Goliath. He wasn't reading that. They was reading about turn the other cheek and love your enemy and love them that despitefully use you. They was given a heavy dose of Christianity, though Christianity was what was used to subdue our people.
I mean, I was there too.
Yes.
I was there every week, even on Saturday. My grandma took me safely. But once I started listening to you and reading it and seeing it, it's question behind it. How much lies am I going to follow for the rest of my life or be misled? You can't sit up here and see, I see this rope, then you contradict yourself, not even 300-400 pages later. You got to explain this to me. And if you can't explain it to me, oh, well, I'm going to have to go the other way. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it would make me think that it would be easier for people to believe when they see it. And the first, you know, people just don't pick up books and just how you just don't pick up a book and add it on. You get what I'm saying?
Yes,
you just don't write something, make it, and then say, oh, this is what he said. Who is you?
That's right. That's right. And that's what they did. They wrote the book and gave it to us and told us to follow. But
right.
The white man don't follow it. He lives in a system that's governed by separation of religion and state, church and state. In other words, when they take oath in office, they vow that they will separate their religion from politics. In other words, what they believe in, they don't practice. What they believe in, they're not going to govern their nation by what they believe in. They're going to separate it because they know their Bible teaches them to love their enemies, and they know they hate their enemies. They know they're not going to elect a president that's not for a strong defense. They know they're not going to vote for a president that's not ready to defend this nation at all costs against anybody. They're not going to vote for them. They're not going to have a passport talking about I'm going to run for president. Even Jesse Jackson wanted to run for president. Look how it changed him. He was a man of so-called a man of God, according to him. He was with Martin Luther King. He was for nonviolence. But when he ran for president, he said, I support a strong defense. I support homosexuality. I support everything that the Democratic ticket support because he wanted to be supported by this man. And he knew he had to separate his religion from his politics if he wanted to be elected. They all do. They talk with a forked tongue.
Yeah,
they ain't gonna put they're not gonna put their religion into practice.
Because I'm not as wise, I really can't battle them. But I don't have them like come to me and just like if from my ex church, like I was saying, they say stuff and I just don't know what to say when they be coming at me. But they always try to come at me a different. You know, like, well, this is right here. This is what's right. I'd be like, no, that's not what's right. Look, this is what's right. But when it comes to battling or something, it's like I'm always losing. Even though I know they lie, it's like I can't make them believe, you know, what's
No, you're not losing. You're winning because you're with the Most High. You can convince them of everything, but all you have to do is just tell them, when they come at you, just tell them Yah is righteous. That's all you say to them. Yah is righteous. And if they think they really know what they're talking about, then call me at 226-7110, and we will send a male or female representative to come and help you out. Just call us at 226-7110. We have a lot of young men and young women that would be glad to defend the Almighty's word. And these are people that have been raised and know this truth and know this book up and down. So you let me know one day.
Okay, and I have one more comment.
All right.
The lady said something about, like, he built the world in 6 days and was tired on the seventh day, that her God, what did she call it? Her God didn't have to rest. He don't get tired. What did she say?
Well,
Allah
yeah,
don't
that,
rest.
Yeah, stuff. That's what she said.
I mean, how much ignorance do you hear, I mean, on a daily basis? Man, it's crazy.
Yes, I hear this. And their own book says that their God is my God. Their
right,
own book says,
you, like, who is that God then?
Yeah. Yeah, in other words, when they get the things they can't understand, and they see in our book, never said the Most High got tired. It just says on the seventh day
he
stops. And that's what the word rest means. It means to cease.
Mm-hmm.
And that means he ceased from all his working. The word Sabbath, he made it a Sabbath. The word Sabbath means to cease. And he ceased from all of his work. He quit working. And they're going to say their God doesn't get tired. Well, they don't know nothing about their God, first of all, because according to the Quran, their God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. According to the Quran, all the prophets were Israelites, and these were the people that were given the prophethood. According to their book, if they want to, if they're mistaken about something or if they're in doubt of, in anything, their book tells them to come to us to ask. We are the guardians of their book. That book's supposed to be the Torah. And we're the only one that can verify if their book is authentic, if their book has any authenticity. if that book has any validity at all, they've got to come to us and say, hey, is this similar to your book? Or is it totally the opposite? We are the ones that they have to go to because according to their own book, their book said we are the people that were given the Torah and the prophethood. And we were, and the book was remained with us for our inheritance. And this book, that book even tell Muhammad that if you have any doubt at all, go to the children of Israel, go to them whom the book was given before thee. This is what their book says. So it takes a very sorry person in their religion to know Islam and then try to condemn the Torah or condemn Abraham or, in fact, condemn the Most High himself. And I heard plenty of them try to condemn the Most High, and their own book says he that doesn't acknowledge the Torah has gone too far. This is what their book says. I just wanted you to know that.
Okay, well, thank you. I just wanted to call and make my comment.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you. And
you
call
welcome.
Back.
Shalom, shalom.
Yeah, call me back again. Shalom, shalom. Right now, if anybody have any comments on what we're speaking of, just call me up at 749-1230. And we're going to talk about these things. And we're going to talk about the differences. And we're going to talk about the divinity of Christ. We want to talk about that to you and get you to try to consider some points. And that's all we want to do. We want to get our people to start considering these things. Right now, we're going to a brother down in Florida. But if anybody want to call, 749-1230. We're going to Florida to the brother named Spoon in Florida. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Murray.
Yes, shalom, my brother. Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely great. It's a great subject that you are conversing over tonight. You know, it's always been kind of one of my mysteries, not really a mystery, but one of my conversation pieces regarding the genealogy of the Christ. So, you know, it's a great thing. I'm here listening and learning as you speak, as always. But just want to wish you well and keep up the good work. And we here in Florida love you, and we listening to you faithfully.
All right. I thank you.
Yes, sir.
And they call anytime. You and the brothers and sisters in Florida, I enjoy hearing from you. And we want to hear any comment that you have.
Okay, great. Well, we appreciate you too also.
All right.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. I'm still waiting for Ernie. I'm still waiting for Greg, one of my Christian brothers, to tell me about why did the Christ in the New Testament change the laws of the Most High, since they said that he's the same, and since they said that the Christ of the New Testament never sinned. Well, right here you have a chance to defend that because I pointed out one of the great sins he committed when he not only changed the law, he totally shattered it and put in the place of it something entirely weak. And to my Christian brothers, I can understand why you don't accept the Quran because the Quran, after they finish with the Christ in the Quran, he's a different being altogether. The Quran in the New Testament was not the Son of Yahweh. The Quran, the Christ of the New Testament, the Quran, or should I say the Christ of the Quran, he was not raised from the dead. He didn't even die until he was an old man. The Christ of the Quran was never crucified. The Christ of the New Testament of the Quran did not die for the sins of man. And according to the Christ of the Quran, he was not in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. And he was not called Emmanuel. A couple of things about the Christ of the New Testament according to the Quran. But right now, I'm going to go to other brothers and sisters, and we're going to talk. But if anybody want to join us, call us in at area code 513 949-1230. Right now, I'm going to Brother Yaakov from Arkansas. A new caller from Arkansas, Brother Yaakov. Shalom, brother.
Shalom. Shalom, Brother Alicia.
Shalom, shalom. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I was liking the show.
Thank you.
You know, the thing about it, one thing that I think that, you know, we in the time of the season where Yahweh is gathering and filling up his disciples, because we know that that's going to come a day and time where people are not going to be able to hear the word from the Creator. So, you know, those of us that Yahweh has revealed his truth to us, you know, we should be happy and appreciative, because that will come a time. You know, he's giving everybody opportunity. Yahweh, he's giving us a choice, because we know that. And I thank Yahweh for revealing his truth to me and others in this area. But I think that I don't think that most people understand the times that they're living in. And yes, they have an opportunity to refuse Yahweh now, but there's going to come a time in this country that people are going to wish they would have heard some of your teaching and other brothers that are scattered around the world that are teaching, trying to get our people to come back to the Creator, because they're going to come a day and time when these words that you're speaking, people won't hear these words no more. So I think that people don't understand how valuable you are at this present time, this wicked time that we're living in, because I don't know how long Yahweh is going to allow his servants to be out there trying to teach our people. We know that this is precious time, and our people that are listening to you, and those in Christianity and those in Islam, you know, there's going to come a day and time where they're not going to be able to hear these words that are coming from the mouth of the Creator. So, you know, I just think if they were understand Isaiah the 8th chapter, you know, Isaiah the 8th chapter sets everything straight.
And that's the where I was going to go to. Me and you have the same spirit. You're talking about the 20th verse.
Oh, yes, sir.
I know. That's what I had. It said, to the law and to the testimonies. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And no, Muhammad did not speak according to the law and the testimonies. Muhammad and the Quran did not speak according to the words of the Most High. And no, the Christ of the New Testament did not speak according to this law and these testimonies.
And so, like I said, Isaiah 8 chapter, it says everything straight. And these minutes, but you know, in these times that we're living in, see, Jacob's trouble is slowly approaching us, and people don't realize the time of the season. But I would ask anybody, you notice, you know, in our book, we don't have to worry about the past, the present, and the future, because the Creator said in Amos 3 and 7, he revealed all his secrets unto his servant, the prophet.
That's right.
Now, if that is true, I would ask any Muslim or anybody in Christianity, tell me some things, reveal to us some things that are concerning who they are as a people, and reveal to us out of their book their nationality, what happened to them, and how are we to get out of this captivity? Because in those books, in the New Testament, also in the Quran, I don't believe that truth is there.
Well, you're right. There is nothing in the Quran about the plight of our people, the condition of our people, and who our people are, and why we are scattered, and what are the things that the Most High said was going to happen to us. These things are not in it, because this is not a book of prophecy where they knew what was going to happen. In the Quran, Muhammad did no miracles, and not only did he do no miracles, but we don't see any of the prophecies that he made that relates to our people here in the last days. None at all. The only thing we read about Muhammad is that he had black slaves, and that he called a black woman with nappy hair called a raisin head, and things of that nature, but we don't see where he's talking about our people, because they're not dealing with our people. Now,
correct.
If you think you're in Arabic, then you might want to read this, because they talk about this is a book for an Arabic people.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But I appreciate you calling, brother. Thank you.
Okay.
And call me back, please.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. And right now we're going right to Cincinnati again. Another first-time caller, I believe, by the name of Fred. Brother Fred.
Yeah, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, this is the first time caller. I mean, this is the first time I ever listened to you on the radio. I just, you know, had, what is that, that station on today. I've been listening to the Buzz kind of regular. I just moved back into Cincinnati.
Okay.
Here recently, and I find the the station with all their programs very informing.
Yes.
Now, I was the same way, but I was just the other day was reading Matthew, and I was going through that geology or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
I found that kind of that caught my eye too.
Oh yes.
The fact that according to the way they say it down in Matthew, according to the genealogy, Joseph would in fact been like I said, Jesus's stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That unless they would have said Mary
mm-hmm.
was came from David, then that would have that would have went along with the program. But
I can't even say that because you trace Mary's genealogy out of the New Testament. She's from the tribe of Levi,
right?
Or Aaron, and according to the Quran, they even had the ability to see that she was from the tribe of Aaron.
Right,
that's what
right.
the Quran says as well. So they can't
right.
use her. That's mean they didn't try to use her.
Right.
And they tried to use Joseph to the people that are blind. Men are
right.
blind, but for those that got eyes and can see and ears and could hear, they couldn't trick us with that, brother.
Right, right.
No, sir, Brother Fred. They couldn't trick
right.
us with it because we spotted it out. This is
right.
what they call a skin game, a con game going on.
Right, right.
You don't
right.
tell me that he came from him and then he's not even connected to him.
Right, right.
Yes, sir.
Right, right, right. I mean, yeah, that was, that was a valid point. I consider myself a halfway intelligent brother.
Yeah.
And it kind of,
well, brother, you're
me.
Very intelligent.
Yeah, it kind of liked me, right off the top.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I was born in America. And I'm, basically, Christian oriented. My grandmama was taking me to the church, too.
That's right.
So, that's why I got started. So, but really opened my eyes to some things. Now, one question I had for you was, I just heard, listened to you for the first time.
Oh, thank
now,
you.
Now, you like, in the Torah, that's like the book of, for the Israelites book. Like
that's called the first five books in the Bible is what we call the Torah.
Right,
that's
right.
the book of the laws. Those are the book, all the laws of the Most High was given within the confines of that book.
That's like Moses and all.
Yes.
That's
where the laws were given to Moses in the first five books. Yes.
Okay. Now, according to the Bible, like when you go into the New Testament, when they talk about, the Israelites was, the Jews was the chosen people, right? But then in the New Testament, they go through and say, it's going to go out to the Jews and the Gentiles. Right? You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm just, I'm listening to you. I'm also blind. I'm visually impaired, right? So I listen to you on radio.
You can see very good.
You got good
spiritual eyes, and I'd rather be physically blind than spiritually blind, brother, because my
right.
whole salvation is at step. So you got good eyes and can
see
real
yeah.
good.
Right, but I'm listening to you on radio. First thing I pick up, that you black like me.
Yes, sir.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now this is a question I have. Okay, now the original Jews or Israelites, they were black.
Yes, they were, and they are. They were, and they are. But
okay.
right today, let me let you know this. Many of our people are mixed up. That's how you know who we are. The Almighty said we would be like a speckled bird. A speckled bird is a bird of many colors.
Right.
Many of us look real black, but we got a white spirit. And then many of us look very light and very white, but we have a good spirit. So you can't judge us by our complexions today because some of those, just like Clarence Thomas, he'd look as darker than anybody in this room that I am, but he's about the biggest Uncle Tom you want to find.
Right.
But then you'll find some other brothers that were very light that fought very vigorously for their people.
Right.
You understand? So you can't judge us by our complexion because we now look like a speckled bird, which is a bird of many colors. That's
right.
how you know who we are because that's what the Creator said his people would look like, a speckled bird, and that's who we are today.
Okay, so you know what I mean? You go through, what they call them, the Jewish people, the synagogue? That's what you worship at?
No, sir, I don't go to a synagogue. I go to the House of Israel Hebrew Biblical and Cultural Center at 1664 California Avenue in Cincinnati, Ohio. Phone number 641-4007. Or you can call me direct at 226-7110.
Yeah.
But I'm always ready to meet any of my people at any time. I will debate any Christian minister in the world. I will debate any Israelite rabbi or Kohen in the world that teaches anything different than me, white or black. I will debate any Muslim sheikh or imam in the world at any time. And I'm ready to meet any of my brothers to discuss our differences anytime. And incidentally, the sister named Rashida, she seen me on TV, the one that was very rude to me and hung up, she seen me on TV years ago and invited me to her house where some of her brothers wanted to be with me, meet me. And I came to her home by myself, and she had four Muslim men in the house. And I talked to them. And she got mad and started fussing at them because they were agreeing with me.
Right.
And she had to put them in check and tell, hey, y'all supposed to be Muslim.
Yeah, you can't.
This man, you allowed him to come and turn us around? And she started chastising, and she will tell you that. She started chastising her visitors that were Muslim men because they were sincere enough to agree that what I was saying was truthful. And they happened to be men of truth that was agreeing with me, and she put them in check and told them their greatest obligation is to their religion and not the truth that I'm saying. So
right.
She put them in check, and that is the truth, the absolute truth, the cold-hearted truth. That is the truth. But I'll meet any of my brothers at any time, Christian, Muslims, Israelites.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you said that again, you located where?
At 1664 California Avenue.
1664 California Avenue.
In Don Hill.
1662.
Two doors off of Redden Road on California Avenue.
Right, okay. Now you say, what was that direct line number?
641-4007. Or you can call me direct at 226-7110.
Okay.
All right?
226-7110.
Yes, sir.
I look forward to meeting you.
All right. Thank you, and I look forward to meeting you, too.
Okie dokie.
Thank you. All right.
Peace.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Right now, I got several brothers on the line, but Sister Rashida called. Maybe she called to dispute what I'm saying, so I want to give her a chance to talk again and say it was true or false. Sister Rashida.
Yes, Brother.
Do you remember when you invited me to your house?
Yes, sir, I do.
And you remember
years ago, and no one was there with me, and you're not bearing this on my soul.
Oh,
bearing this on yours.
Oh, yes, I will. Absolutely.
Get over the air.
Yes.
You're telling a lie.
Yeah. Oh, you should be ashamed of yourself, Rashida.
Alicia, do you know who I am?
Yes, I do. You're the little short lady that I was raised up with.
And
we went to
and
other
right, and you never came over my
yes,
house.
Yes, I did.
Where was I living at?
It's somewhere off of William Howard Taft.
I lived on Ingleside.
Yeah, that's near.
You had on some beige pants.
Yeah, near William Howard Taft.
You had on some beige jacket.
You just said I never came to your house.
No, I did not say that.
You just said I didn't
said
come to your house,
no
and now you're describing
there,
what I wore.
Alicia. No one was there but
right.
me and you.
No, that's not true. You
and
had
I
about.
I bear witness on my soul.
Well,
my
I'm not gonna.
Go to hell.
I'm not
you're
gonna.
You're telling a lie, like.
Oh wait, we're not. I'm not gonna. You and I just disagree on our memories, and so we won't deal with that all day. But right now, but I will, and I still will avail myself to debating any Muslim sheikh, imam, in the world at any time in the world. But right now, we want to discuss a couple more issues out of the scriptures to bring to our people's attention. They didn't want to. Let's go back to Matthew's. This is the point that I'm really eagerly waiting from some of my Christian brothers to come to truth defend. And I know you're listening, and I know you can't defend it. That's the reason I know you would probably not call. But I want you to go back to Matthew, the fifth chapter. But before I start speaking, we had one of the brothers on the line for quite a while. I'm going right to him, and that's Brother Levi, right from Cincinnati, Ohio. Brother Levi.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
All right. You're coming out live and direct, brother. You sound great.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's funny. I'm here at Matthew's 5, actually.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. I wanted to, I would like to sit back and just listen to you, though. It seemed like we're thinking the same thing, and I just like to sit back.
No,
and
let the listen honest listen to you, because I like them to listen to my callers, and it looked like, and I like to learn something. Maybe we're going to say the same thing, and maybe we're not. What did you want to bring forth?
Well, I wanted to highlight what you had actually already read in 39 verse. You know, and I know years ago when I questioned a lot of things, you know, a lot of people are studying and, you know, and I'm still studying, but I know these were one of the things that caught my attention, and some you pointed out, and at 39 where it says, but I say unto you, Christ talking here, that ye resist not evil. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, then he gives examples.
Not Christ, but the Christ of the New Testament.
Right.
Now, the reason I distinguish the two, because there's a Christ of the New Testament that was put in there by the people that wrote the New Testament.
Right.
And then there's the Christ of the Old Testament that was spoken of by the Most High himself.
I understand.
Now, the Christ of the Old Testament is the one that the Creator stated would come back and rule the world with him.
I see.
And that's the one he named and said his name is David.
Yes, sir.
Now, the Christ of the New Testament was never mentioned out of the mouth of the Most High. So we always want to distinguish between Christ or the Christ of the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
The New Testament is a false book that was written by our enemies and written to deceive us. And so this Christ was given to us as a means to deceive us and turn us away from the Creator and have us worshiping a man that could not even save himself.
Yes, sir.
Let's own us, according to their own stories that are within the confines of the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to inject that before you continue.
Yes, sir. Very good. Thank you, sir. And the 39 where it says that ye resist not evil. And there's in many ways that, it, you know, if it was written that ye resist evil, but it says resist not evil.
Isn't that something telling a man to resist not evil?
Wow.
And you know what the word resist means, don't you?
Right.
Don't try to stand in the way of. Don't try to combat it. Don't try to fight against it, but succumb to it. Don't resist it. And then it shows you what it means. It said if it hits you on your face, don't walk away. Just turn to the other side.
Let him go to
now,
work.
That's not resisting. Now, even if you don't fight and you turn away and run, that's resisting.
Right.
Because you're putting yourself in a position not to be attacked at all again.
Yeah.
But if you just merely turn the other cheek, then you can really say he doesn't resist evil.
Right.
And then it said even if you go to court and somebody take you to the law, don't even fight back. Mm. So all these lying Christian ministers that say they believe in the Most High, but they will go to court and try to fight and steal things from people and take things from people, and not even defend itself, but take things that don't belong to them and then claim they're Christians.
Right.
Claim they believe in the teachings of Christ and always talking about Christ. Well, if they believed in Christ, they wouldn't be resisting anything they interpret as evil because he said, resist ye not evil.
That's right.
That means if somebody wants you to engage in a homosexual act with them, don't resist them. That means somebody want to rape your wife. Don't fight them off.
Mm-hmm.
Give them your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this is saying, and it's sure madness.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Even at that you're right, that 41, even what you were just saying, whosoever shall compel, I looked that word up. It's force.
Mm-hmm.
Whoso shall force you to go a mile, go with them twain. I mean, that's like slavery all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Even at 43, you know, I was thinking about what you said last week about how Christ, you brought out scriptures where he says, you know, you're supposed to hate, he that follows me has to hate his mother and father and brothers and sisters. Now, in this 43, in this Matthew's 5, it says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy.
Well, right.
But I say,
this book is saying something, go ahead.
But he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Now, why would he say hate your brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in one breath, And then say, but love your enemies. Hate them that despitefully use you.
That's part of the madness.
Wow.
Of this book. This is part of the madness. But the Most High, whom they claim is a saint, he never remotely suggested for us to hate evil or to hate or to love our enemies.
Right.
Or to hate anything good. Here's what the Most High said in the book of Psalms 97.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High said in verse 10.
I'll just sit back and listen to you, bro.
Yes, in the book of Psalms 97 division, verse 10, here's what it says.
Mm-hmm. Ye that love Yah, hate evil.
He said, ye that love Yahweh, hate evil. That's the only way we can prove that we're servants of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that love evil, they really hate the Most High. Because if you hate evil, you hate seeing the racism in Cincinnati. You hate seeing racism anywhere if you hate evil. If you hate evil, you hate this police brutality. You hate the fact that they're pulling out, shooting everybody with these tasers continuously.
Yeah.
And the chief is not doing nothing about it. You hate the fact that innocent brothers that fought for our liberty, such as General Kabaka, is murdered in cold blood in the street. You hate evil if you love Yah. If you don't hate evil, it's only because you are evil. I repeat, anyone that does not hate evil must be evil. You must be evil when you don't hate evil. If I love a little child, I would hate somebody to rape her.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hate child molesters. I would hate children being raped. I would hate anybody being raped because this is evil.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate people being shot down and bushwhacked and ambushed and shot when they can't defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I hate acts of cowardness.
Yes.
I hate acts of wickedness, but some people love this wickedness. They love this cowardness. They love iniquity, and that's how you know these people are evil. And we have a lot of evil people in Cincinnati, in the courthouse, in the police departments, in City Hall, and on our streets, in various businesses, very evil men. But the love, Yah, is the hate evil. So you will never read a commandment of the Most High that will tell us don't resist evil.
Yeah.
To tell us not to resist evil is telling us that Yah does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
His laws are void because all of his laws, all of his statutes, and all of his judgments teach us to hate wickedness. Hate evil. I just want you to know that.
That's very good.
And I want to let our listening audience know also, if they care to call me about anything, you can call me at 226-7110. 226-7110, the bus. But right now, or 226-7110, period. And if you have any questions, just call me. Or come to the House of Israel, 1664 California. Or get us on our website, www.houseofisrael.org. Israel spelled Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And get ready and get prepared for our conference that we're having in Cincinnati, in your own city, the third week of July. The weekend of the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to have a conference in Cincinnati, and we're going to have great teachers teaching in things that are relevant to your salvation, spiritually and financially. We're going to have people that's not trying to take money out of your pocket, but people that are going to enable you to keep money in your pocket. We're going to have people teaching you how to improve your credit, improve your stature, improve your economical situation, and improve your spirituality right here in Cincinnati. We're going to have some of the best teachers in the United States assembled here to awaken our people the weekend of July the 21st. But until next week, Yahweh love you very much, and so do I. Shalom.